invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to be studying from that text this afternoon in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. 8 reasons to praise. Back in 1960, I was at home with a babysitter when an aunt of mine arrived at the house to inform me that I was going to be going to her house to spend the night because my father had had a massive heart attack. He and Mom were at a company party, and he had his first one. Fortunately, we were able to have him for 9 more years after that. But that began a relationship with a lady that became very special to me. My Aunt Delora became somewhat my adopted mother. And I learned a lot from her. I learned from a very small, frail woman how to have fun and enjoy life. She would take me and her 5 daughters to the State Fair of Texas, and the first time that I got to enjoy Big Tex, to ride the rides on the Midway, to go to the automobile building and all the neat things that were at the State Fair of Texas. It was with her that for the first time that I stayed up until midnight to see the New Year's in and to open the door and to hear the cars honking and to hear the fireworks. And I well remember the hot summer days in which I actually thought it was cool to sleep in an attic room. Reality was, it wasn't very cool, it was hot, but I thought it was cool anyway, you know, when I was that age. And I remember the delicious meals that she would fix, the chicken fried steak especially, and the gravy and the chicken, fried chicken, were just specials of hers. And she could bake a chocolate pie like all of my aunts could. But what I remember also about Aunt Delora was that she was a godly woman. That she would make sure, even though her husband was not a Christian, that she and her 5 daughters made it to worship. She was involved in teaching a Bible class for I don't know how many years. And I even remember on Sunday morning going with her early when she would prepare the Lord's Supper to make sure that it was ready for the day of worship. And a few years ago, a couple of years ago, her 5 daughters came to me and said, "We want you to do Mom's funeral." And they said, "What we want is we don't want you to preach a sermon, but we want you to eulogize. We want it to be a memorial to her." And my response to them was, "How can I do that?" And the reason why is because the life of my Delora Pike was, she was a living sermon. Her life was much like the life of Jesus. She sang her eulogy throughout her life by the way in which she lived, by the way she served her children, and one who was really not her child but became an adopted child, and by the godly example that she left for her husband and that she left for her children. A eulogy means high praise. Actually, the Greek word is eulogia, and it means praise or fine speaking or blessing. And in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, we have praise to God. Paul begins by saying, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Here Paul is speaking well of God because of His intrinsic nature. He is offering high praise to God because of what He has done. In fact, the Psalm 18, the great lesson that Jacob had Wednesday night, "I will praise God because He is worthy to be praised." He is indeed worthy of our honor and praise. And in Ephesians chapter 1, we find that Paul is praising God according to the spiritual blessings that he has offered in Christ Jesus. Today I want to share with you something that is written in the margin of my Bible, 8 reasons to praise God. And as we conclude the Thanksgiving weekend, we call it Thanksgiving, I want us to think of things for which we should be grateful other than the fact that we had a lot of food on the table on Thursday, other than the fact that we live in America and that we live in a free country, other than the fact that we have men who are women who are willing to fight for our freedoms, and all of those things for which we should indeed be grateful. But I want us to think about the spiritual blessings that Paul speaks about in Ephesians chapter 1. 8 reasons to praise God. 8 reasons to speak well of Him. Incidentally, the word blessing actually means that. Someone asked a question a while back. How is it that we can bless the bread? We speak well of that memorial for which God has left to us to remember His Son Jesus. We speak well of those emblems. We lift them up because they are given by God. But here are 8 reasons to praise. Number 1, Paul says, we must praise Him because He blesses us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Blessing means to benefit or prosper. It means to give contentment. It is found hundreds of times in the Bible because, you see, God enjoys blessing His people. But here Paul says that He has given us spiritual blessings. He has given us blessings that are in the heavenly places in Christ. Not earthly, but spiritual blessings. I believe that the heavenly places is not necessarily referring to a geographical location, but rather it is referring to the exalted position that we enjoy because we are the children of God. He has given us spiritual blessings, and He has given us spiritual blessings in Christ. Just read with me through the text for a minute. Look in verse 3. We'll just sort of scan. He says, in the heavenly places in Christ. In verse 4, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. In verse 5, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself. Notice in verse 6, to the praise of His glory, of His grace, which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. In verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him. And in verse 13, or in verse 11, He says, in Him we have obtained an inheritance. And in verse 13, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. Now, all of these spiritual blessings are in Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me. Thus, Paul is extolling God. He is lifting Him up because of the wonderful spiritual heavenly blessings that He has offered in Christ Jesus. But the second reason of praise is number 2, because He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. He has chosen us. Actually, the idea here is the doctrine of election. It is a reflection of God's purpose. It is a focus upon God's purpose and will. In fact, let's again scan the passage. First of all, notice in verse 5 that the scheme of redemption was, the latter part of verse 5, according to the good pleasure of God's will. God wanted it that way. And in verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. And again in verse 11, in Him we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him, who works all things according to the counsel of His will. All of these things came because God wanted it that way. And what did God decide? Number 1, He decided that He was going to save Jews and Gentiles. That He would allow His scheme of redemption to be offered to all mankind. In fact, verse 12, He says, we first trusted in Christ. That would be Jews. Then in verse 12, He says, we first trusted in Christ. Then in verse 13, he says, in whom you also trusted. That is, the Gentile Christians who were at Ephesus. It was God's purpose to allow Jews and Gentiles to be saved. It was going to be accomplished in Christ, as we've already noticed. And it would be accomplished when they trusted in Jesus. That's what God determined. And man cannot get the credit. It was God's plan and God's scheme. And because of God's plan and God's scheme, He is worthy of our praise. We bless Him and we extol Him and we lift Him up. But not only that, but then next we notice that number three, Paul says, because He predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. He predestined us. Not particular redemption here. The Greek word progenosko means to know before. To mark out beforehand. According to W. Vines in the text, he says to know before. He said it literally means to know before, being a compound term, pro, before, genosko, to know. And what did the Father decide before? To determine who would be redeemed, who would be believers, and who would be unbelievers. Is it offered conditionally or unconditionally? What did God decide before? Well, first of all, He did not decide unconditionally who would be saved. That is, that He's going to pick T, bleep George out of the plan. The very invitation of Jesus suggests the free moral agency of man. Matthew, the 11th chapter, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God gave us the gift, but He left us with the choice. He gives a wonderful invitation to come. But it's left up to us as to whether or not we will receive that wonderful invitation. Again, it's offered conditionally. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 8 and 9, the Hebrew writer says that though you were son, yet learned the obedience by the things which He suffered, and being made perfect, became the author of eternal salvation to those who choose to obey Him. Thus, He chose us. He knew beforehand. That is, He predetermined beforehand a plan of what He was going to do for the redemption of man. That He was going to offer it to all men, and He predetermined the terms of pardon. But now it's left to us as to whether or not we will choose to be a part of that predestined plan. And along with the same, in the same vein, and in the same verses, He uses this wonderful term, adopted. I understand what it's like to be an adopted son. Because that's sort of what Aunt Delora did for me. She adopted me. And oftentimes, I hate to say it, but there were times when I didn't deserve it. I remember times when I received a word of discipline and admonition. I would do things in our home that I knew better. And rightly so, I would receive the punishment as I deserve. But what is wonderful about this word adoption is that the picture here is of a man be going in a court of law. He goes before the judge, he's guilty. The judge offers pardon. Then he comes out from behind the bench and he takes the punishment in behalf of the one who is guilty. And then he takes him home and adopts him into His own family. That's what God did for us. God took us into His own family. Under Roman law, adoption meant enjoying the full privileges of the natural child. That's what God has done for us. You see, there's more to praise God for than for the turkey and dressing and the cherry pie. And the fact that we are Americans, because we are Christians, we have great joy because of the salvation that we have been offered in Christ. Because He loved us enough to adopt us, to forgive us of our sins, and to bring us into His own family. that I can be called a child of God. Reason number four. Because He lavished His grace on us. Beginning in verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. First of all, grace. That means that it was undeserved. In fact, Paul puts it like this in the second chapter. Look in the second chapter in verse 4. But God, who is rich in His mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Dead in sin, but God, who is rich in His mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, He made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. He gave us this redemption. By grace, He says, you have been saved. God's unmerited gift is the gift of salvation and the forgiveness and redemption offered in Christ Jesus. And notice that Paul says that this rich gift, this wonderful gift that God gave, God made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. That is, He showered this grace upon us generously and extravagantly, not unconditionally. I understand there are terms. We must walk by faith. I know that. But nonetheless, God gave extravagantly and freely and generously. God is full of mercy. And God is full of the willingness to forgive. That's why, as a Christian, I need to be thankful. I need to be thankful because of what God has done for me. Reason number five, because He made known to us the mystery of His will. In verses 9 and 10, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and on earth in Him. God made known to us the mystery of His will. Mystery means it was hidden. For a long time, God chose not to fully reveal His plan of redemption. It was sort of, in a way, hidden in the Old Testament and the prophets. God spoke of it long ago. But finally, God fully unveiled the scheme of redemption and fully revealed it. In fact, in the third chapter of Ephesians, Paul puts it like this. Beginning in verse 1, for this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me for you, how that by revelation He made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets, that Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ through the gospel. Specifically, Paul said that a part of that mystery that is now unveiled is that God intended to include Jews and Gentiles in His plan of redemption. It was at once hidden, but now it has been revealed and unveiled. Old-time preachers used to say that the Old Testament and the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. It has now been revealed. In fact, there are some specifics that God has revealed. Everything we need to know, God has revealed to us. Number one, He has revealed to us our sinfulness. The gospel is able to convict man of sin, all of sin, and come short of the glory of God. Number two, He tells us of God's answer in Jesus Christ. God committed His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Paul says in Romans chapter 5. Third, he provides sufficient evidence to cause us to believe that Jesus is the Savior. John chapter 20 and verses 30 and 31. And he clearly reveals the terms of pardon, that Jesus Christ is the author of salvation to those who are willing to obey him. God has given us everything we need to know. When I get up in the morning, if I have another day, I can thank God that I am a child of God. And I can thank him that he loved me enough to reveal his plan to me, to give me a reason to live, to give me a direction and purpose for my life. He provides it all in Jesus Christ. And he revealed it all in his will. Reason number six. Reason number six. Because of an inheritance. In him, he says, verse 11, you have also obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. An inheritance is simply a lot or a portion or assignment to someone. And it seems to me that God's inheritance provides a couple of things. Number one, the peace that we now enjoy in Jesus today, as well as the promise of something better tomorrow. That is, a heavenly home. What a blessing. Our redemptive future is marked out. When God finally brings it all together, it will be the summation and consummation of everything that God has purposed for man. And if I'm on his side, I can enjoy every blessing, eternal blessing, that he has promised for his people. Praise God for that. Praise God that I have something better to look forward to than the mundane temptations, trials, and difficulties of this life. Thanks to God, I have something better to look forward to. I can praise him because of his inheritance. Number seven, I can praise him because Paul says in verse 13 that he sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom you also, having believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. A seal was, of course, something that was placed upon a document to make it official. Having gone through a recent discussion about settling an estate, I become quite aware of how important that seal is on a will. Notarized, stamped, sealed. Commonly in those times, they would take a ring, maybe, and they would use it to put the official stamp or seal upon that document that would make it authentic, that would authenticate and make it real. But here, Paul says that we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That is, we can have the assurance of knowing that we belong to God. How do we know that? And how were we sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise? Well, first of all, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 8:16, he says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That is, that when I find my life in accordance with what the Spirit has revealed, then I know that I'm a child of God. Put it another way, in the book of 1 John, in 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 3, in 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 3, John says, by this we know that we are in him, or we know that we know him. By this we know, have assurance that we know, that is, we have fellowship with God, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep the commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. I can have the assurance that I am God's child when I look at my life, and I find that it is in accordance with the commandments given by God in his book. We are sealed with that Holy Spirit the promise. Reason number eight. Reason number eight. Because he guaranteed our inheritance. In verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory? A guarantee is a pledge, a deposit, a down payment, if you will, that promises that the buyer will complete the transaction, that one day it will be paid in full amount. The pledge is binding. And the point of Paul is that God will keep his promise if we remain faithful to him. Many times as a father, I made promises to my children that I intended to keep that I didn't. I don't think it was because of my lack of integrity, but much of the time because of my inability to keep that promise. But God not only has the integrity, but the ability to keep every promise that he has made. And he will keep that promise. One day, Jesus is coming back. In an unstable world where you can't trust government, you can't trust neighbor, you can't trust the economy, there is one you can trust who will never let you down. And that's the Heavenly Father. When God makes it, it's as good as done. And one day, God will keep his promise. What a list. Eight reasons to praise God, to be thankful to him. And for those of us who are in Christ, for those of us who have trusted in him, for those of us who have believed in him and been obeyed, our daily task is to give glory to him and to glorify and honor him. Paul puts it like this in the fourth chapter. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit of the bond of peace. To walk worthy of that calling. That is our daily task. And as we go through the day, we can sing the song that Jamie led us in a minute ago. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of the Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. This is what life is all about. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Is it your story? Is that how you feel? Is that your sin? If there's something we can do today to make sure that your life is right with God, we would certainly welcome that opportunity. We invite you to come as we stand and sing the song's over.
Have you found it?